Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, please. All the tapes concerning the 5 weeks of the meeting, the majority of them are available in the back. What I preached last night, we did not have a chance to make available. I preached on River Rat Christianity, and we didn't have a chance to make any of those tapes up. Now, I apologize, but any of the tapes concerning all the meeting are back there. I did run out of the tape on the home that I preached on, Pursuing Your Opponent. And I used a boxing arena and how you can defeat the devil and win the championship of your home. And I hope you'll get a copy of that. It's been a great joy to be here. If this is indeed the last night of the meeting, I thank the Lord for the privilege to be able to preach to you good people. Many of you have been saved in the meeting. And it's always the perfect will of God for you to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and to unite with an independent Baptist church. The one you're sitting in would be the one the Lord would probably want you to get in. The church is good enough to get saved in. It's good enough to join if they preach the truth. And this is where you need to be. I thought about tonight while they were singing. Homes have been put back together. Folks' lives have been rescued. And what a blessing it's been as a church to sit here, though we're tired in body. And I know you are, and I appreciate your faithfulness from the depths of my heart. I want to preach what the Lord's put on my heart tonight. I appreciate all the hospitality, the meals. There's much I could say in the formalities of the offsetting of the service, but I do want to say thank you for everything you've done during our stay here at the Pleasant View Baptist Church. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and believe me it has, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, because they're wicked and filthy and ungodly, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears that will not offend their lifestyle. Yes, that's exactly what it means. And yes, I'm talking to some of you right here tonight. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. And because you're going to preach the word while others are turning away, while you're watching, you're going to have to endure affliction. But don't forget, while you're enduring your afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Win somebody else to Christ. Make full proof of thy ministry. He said in verse 6, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and departed unto Thessalonica, Grecians to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. I want to stop reading there for sake of time. I've got much I want to get in a short time. I know this is Friday, and everybody's tired and weary and half sick, and most of you here is on medicine just enough to be here, and some are homesick, and some even have the flu and have physical problems. Others are homesick because of the meeting, and I'm sorry it's that way, but that's what preaching does sometimes. Some get glad and some get mad, but we just got to keep on preaching anyhow. This is the closing book of the Apostle Paul, containing the 13 books that he wrote in the New Testament. If indeed you believe he is the author of the book of Hebrews, which I embrace in my own personal opinion. Paul is about to lose his head now, and he's about to go home and be with the Lord. He's encouraging one of the young preacher boys that was converted under his ministry, surrendered to preach, and was left to pastor his first church. And he's encouraging him in these last days to preach the word. You know, there was a day when preaching was popular. I remember my daddy telling me when he was a little boy, when they had Brush Arbor meetings in the community, everybody would shut down everything, saved or lost, and go to that revival meeting. It didn't matter if it went 1 week, 7 weeks, or 19 weeks. As long as they were having church in the community, everybody shut down their business. Everybody put everything on the back burner and put the meeting first in their community and in their life. There was a time when preaching was heard and was popular. There was a time when preaching was prosperous. I think about the men of days of old, how they preached, and thousands were converted under their ministry. And I'm not jealous of that at all. I wish to God we could see that in our day. You're not seeing that, and I'm not seeing that. And anybody else that's preaching the true gospel is not seeing that as well. There was a time when preaching was prosperous. There was a time when you could preach and you could plant the word of God. And it wouldn't be long till you'd see some results. And God would give a quick increase. There was a time when you could preach and it was just plowing time. And that you could plant the word of God and folks would receive it. And it'd fall on good ground and people would be saved and converted. But according to chapter 3 and verse number 1, fellas, whether we like it or not, we're having to preach in perilous times. This is dangerous times. We're living in last days, and we're not seeing a lot of results like a lot of men of days of old, and we're not seeing a lot of prosperity in the gospel, and it's not popular. As a matter of fact, you hold a meeting over 3 days, most Baptists will get mad at you, and you can't even get your members to come, much less anybody that's unsaved in the community. But we're just as obligated to preach the word tonight as we was when it was popular, when it was prosperous, when it was plenty, when it's time of plowing. We've got to keep on preaching just like we always have. I want to preach tonight on the subject of plow, preacher, plow. I tell you, if we've ever needed some plowing, if we ever needed some ground tore up, if we've ever needed some stumps pulled out, it's the day in which we're living in today. I was preaching for Dr. Seidler not long ago down at Tabernacle, and he was talking to some of the deacons and the men, and one of the visitors asked him, said, "Why do you have Brother Kidd down here at Tabernacle anyhow?" Dr. Seidler said, "Well, he may not be a pastor, but said he's a stump puller, and said you got to get the stumps out before you can plow the field." I plead guilty to that, amen. Bless God, if I know there's a dried up root somewhere hindering the man of God from planting the seed, you better believe I'll till it up, bless God. I'll drop it low. I'll find out where it's at. I'll expose it for where it is, and we'll just stay there, put the dynamite under it, and blow the hell out of it, amen. Man, that's right. That's exactly what we need. We need some men of God that'll plow. I don't think this is playing time. I think it's preaching time. Oh, God, save America and give us some old-fashioned, Holy Ghost-filled, sin-killing, God-loving preachers that'll stand up and roll up the shirt sleeves, get filled with the Holy Ghost, and plow and preach the Word of God. I don't want a bunch of praying. I don't want a bunch of entertainment. I don't come to church to get my face of flesh blown up and fed. I need proud. I need priest. I want you to turn up the dirt in my heart. Show me if there be any wicked way in me. Clean me up that I might be right and holy in the sight of God. And I tell you, it's not a popular thing to be a plowing preacher, but we've got to have it. It's got to be done. May I say to you, and I'm giving you this to kind of give you a background of maybe what your man of God's going through, and you may not even realize it. But I tell you, if you've got a plowing pastor, and I know you have, you're going to find in verse number 14 of chapter 1, there's going to be some that'll hinder the work. Alexander the coppersmith is mentioned there. Any of you that know anything about your Bible, you know him. When Paul went to Ephesus, I believe it was in Acts chapter 19, he began to win those pagans to God. Alexander made the great goddess Diana out of copper. And when they were converted and throwing away their dead idols and copper gods and turning to the true living God, Alexander the coppersmith saw that it was going to affect him financially. And the Bible said that they drug the Apostle Paul in the arena And it was this same man that chanted for 2 hours and stomped his feet and clapped his hands while the Apostle Paul was trying to defend the gospel and preach the word. It was this same Alexander that clapped his hands and began to chant with all the people of Ephesus, "Great is the goddess Diana. Great is the goddess Diana." You know why he was trying, my friend, to hinder the work? Because Paul was a plowing preacher. He knew that man of God could make a difference in his community. He knew that man of God would win his family. He knew that man of God would win the people that had the businesses all around him. He knew a plowing preacher had the ability through the Spirit of God to make a difference in the wicked land of Ephesus in Asia. Thank God for a plowing preacher. It's never been popular to be a plowing preacher, but we still got to have it in the days in which we're living. People may run their mouth, chant, smack their hands, stomp their feet, but we're going to preach whether they like it or not. And that includes your mother, buddy, and you tell her I said so. She can leave here, slam doors, squeal tires, raise hell, make phone calls, do anything she wants to. You know what that makes me want to do? You tell your mom I said so. It just makes me drop the plow that much deeper. It just makes me say, "Lord, that field needs tore up again. That road needs plowed up again. I need to drop it harder. I need to put another weight on the plow. I need to go deeper than I've ever gone." And I tell you what, when you plow it out, it'll fall up anything that'll hinder the field. Yeah, man. You plow. There'll be some that'll hinder the work. In verse number 16, 15, there's some that hated the word of God. Paul said in verse number 15 of chapter number 1, excuse me, of chapter 4, he said that they greatly withstood our words. Brother Tim, I wish people could get it down in their hearts and minds that when you disagree with the word of God, you're not disagreeing with a preacher or a denomination. You're disagreeing with God. Even in this meeting, people's come up to me and said, "Preacher, I tell you, I don't know if I agree with that or not." Well, if the Bible says it, jerk, who cares if you agree with it or not? I tell you, I think some of you folks have went to school to be so dumb. Eh, man? God's not interested in your opinion and what you think. God's not interested in my opinion and what I think. It's what thus saith the Lord. And if you're going to get mad at God. We're just the mail boy delivering the mail, telling you what the Word of God says. Amen. I've had some say, "I don't like what you say about hair." You'll just have to leave, or we're going to keep plowing. I had some ladies pooch their lips out last night because I said, "Oh, you ought to go home and burn your britches and wear a dress." You'll just have to get mad. I'm just going to drop the plow deeper. Bless God Almighty, I ain't a changer before I got here. I ain't a changer because I'm here. And I ain't a changer after I leave here. Amen. If it's wrong to dress that way in Mississippi, it's wrong to dress that way in South Carolina. Yes, sir. You say, "Preacher, you don't know where I work." If you was at home being a housewife like you ought to, you wouldn't have to worry about being modest in your apparel. Whoop, whoop, ba-boo. That's right. I tell you, bless God, I'm going to be honest with you. I've got enough of flesh in me. You make me mad, we'll have two devils in the flesh tonight, and we'll pick up where we left off last night. I tell you, preaching is not to hurt you. It's to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's right. Now, some want to hinder the word. Some hated the word. And then in chapter 16, he was harassed by the world. The Bible said, when he got done preaching a revival meeting, he said, "Everybody that's for me, stand up." And the Bible said, nobody stood with him. I tell you, it doesn't sound to me like the applause of the world will be at our feet. It doesn't sound like we're going to pack the Coliseums and get 72 denominations to come hear us preach. I was up in Cleveland, Ohio. I put a tent up in the ghetto where I was saved earlier last year in the summer. And Billy Graham had just come through in a crusade. And I know some of you Southern Baptists, you just hold tight. We'll be out of here in about 30 more minutes and you can go home. You get up and leave now, we'll know whose side you're on. He said on the front page of the Cleveland Press, he said, "Isn't it wonderful that we can bring together 72 denominations and nobody get mad?" Wonderful? That's perverted. What in the name of God are you talking about? I can't even get a bunch of independent Baptists together without making somebody mad. I could imagine having 71 other denominations. Are you kidding me? It'd be World War III in this place tonight. I tell you, somebody's a compromiser. Somebody's watered down the gospel. Somebody's a rank liberal. I tell you what, when you preach and you plow and you drop this word of God on sinners, it won't draw them all together, honey. It'll blow them out or get them in. Let me tell you something, church. Don't you get mad because folks leave and sinners come and the man of God drops the plow. That word of God will help them. If they'll come with an open heart and receive the word of God, it won't drive them away. It'll pull them in. It'll pull them in. You can't make them mad if they got an open heart to this book. Amen. I think preachers ought to plow. I tell you, when this meeting's over with, don't you dry up and dine your pastor. Don't you shout when I preach against sin, then pucker your lips out when your pastor does. I tell you, when your preacher drops that plow, you ought to say, hallelujah. Let her rip, man of God. That's why we're here. That's why we tithe and give and support missions. That's why we bring our family and travel 30 miles to get to a church where a preacher will plow and help our families, help our children, and salvage our homes for the glory of God. Now, watch this. Here's the problem we have. When a preacher plows, he's misunderstood. People look at the results instead of the fact that the man of God's trying to stay with the truth. They say, well, you shouldn't have said that because of look what it did. You can't quit preaching because of look what it might do. You hear me, bless God? You say, oh, preacher, I'm scared to bring sinners. I'm scared what you might preach on. That's not the truth. That's not the truth. Bless God, you can't be fearful like that. If your pastor's filled with the Holy Ghost and knows God, God knows what you're going to bring, who you're going to bring. God knows how to direct that man of God. I tell you, you can bring sinners. I've seen them get saved when I preached on tithing. I've seen them get saved when I preached on the home. I tell you, if you'll just bring them and stay faithful and let the man of God plow, the Holy Ghost will take the seed of that book and buy it in their hearts. Now let me show you what plowing preaching does. You say, I don't get this where I go. I can tell that by looking at your face, buddy. Your preacher, bless God, probably don't even have a tractor, much less a plow. I want to show you what plowing preaching does. Watch this. Now you watch this. Paul said, preach, preach, preach. You just keep preaching, whether it's popular or not. Now watch what it does, and I'm going home. In verse number 10, I'm going to confess something. In verse number 10, it'll make some depart from the faith. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you. Paul's in prison. If the man of God, if this plowing preacher ever needed his church to stand behind him, it was now. He's in an underground prison. The rats are big as house cats. Human waste is ankle deep. And I tell you, there's condensation running down the stone, muddy walls. He's in a prison all by himself. And he's hardly getting anything to eat. Skeletons of other human bodies laying around. Everybody's coming by and spitting through the door at him, cussing his God. I mean, Paul needs people to stand behind him now like he's never needed them before. He's plowed and plowed and plowed. He's on the last leg of the journey. And all of a sudden, Luke comes up to the door and says, hey, Paul, there's something I need to tell you. Paul said, yeah, Luke, what is it? He said, I need to tell you something about demons. Paul said, yeah, man, what about it? Where's he at, man? I hadn't seen him in a day or two. Luke bowed his head and said, Paul, I tell you, demons has left us. Left us. Well, Luke, I remember when we passed through Thessalonica, old Demas, he was a loser. He is a thug. He is an outcast. He lived like a dog. Nobody had any respect for him. We want him to Jesus. He's been traveling with us. He's went with us all through the journey. And now winter time is coming, and I need him like I've never needed him before. I'm facing more problems. I'm under more pressure. I'm about to get my head cut off. I stood with Demas when nobody else would. Now I need him to stand with me. And now you're telling me he's gone? Yeah, Paul, he's gone. Paul said, where did he go? Said he's went back to Thessalonica. Paul said, Thessalonica? That's where he come from. That was Demas' hometown. Here's Paul plowing, trying to do the best he can, going through winter time. He's under pressure, about to lose his head. And somebody that he loved and won to God and gave him everything he had and gave him the truth and prayed with him and counseled his family back together. Now Demas has departed from the faith, and he's went back to the same things God brought him out of when he got born again. You know what the Bible said, Brother Steve? I'll tell you why people leave a plowing preacher. Verse 10 tells us they love the world. You know why people leave this church? Brother Bud, you know why folks have left your church? Brother Steve, you know why they're going to leave your church if you keep on a preaching? I'll tell you why. It's not our personality. It's not how loud the PA is. It's not what color the carpet is. It's not the fact that they're not being fed. It's the fact that they love that ungodly world, and they don't want you plowing it. I say you're going to have to find another church. Bless God Almighty, we're going to keep plowing till Jesus comes. We're going to plow. That's right, Brother Jim. We're going to keep on plowing. You say, my mama don't like it. My daddy don't like it. We're going to plow anyhow. Now watch this. Let me lose about four of you right here. Look up here at me, bless God Almighty. I ain't a-praying. I don't even know why you come, lady. You look at the carpet more than you do me. I want to tell you something. You may infect your husband, but you ain't going to control this pulpit. I wonder, what gave Demas the thought to want to go back to Thessalonica anyhow? Now watch this, Brother Doug. Have you ever wondered what gave him that taste for Thessalonica anyway? I'll tell you what I believe it was. I believe some of that crowd that left Paul before that already went back would call Demas on the weekend. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They didn't like Paul. They didn't like that crowd. They went to the First Baptist Church of Thessalonica. If you want to leave and go to that dead liberal crowd, help yourself. We're surrounded by it. But I tell you, you're wicked as hell, lady, to leave this church, go to a dead liberal church, and then call back other members of this church and tell them how wonderful it is down there at Thessalonica, how crowded your building is, all the skating rings and bowling alleys and the family life centers they got for the children, and how you can live like you want to, dress like you want to, bring any version of the Bible that you want to, and we all just get together in love. I tell you what got Demas discouraged and made him quit and get away from a plowing preacher. He got to listen to that crowd calling that went down to Thessalonica. I'm going to tell some of you ladies something. The reason why some of you quit testifying, lost your joy, the reason why some of you has gone out of the choir, you've got mad as hell at me preaching in this meeting, you're staying in contact with Thessalonica, some of them other lizard tongue Jezebels that the man of God plowed out of here. Oh no, you wouldn't dare admit it. You wouldn't dare admit it. But you ain't a fooling me. You're mean as hell. You can't handle preaching. The only reason why you're here tonight, your husband made you come. But you can't wait to get back home and call that Thessalonica crowd again and let them know what went on down here at the house of God. You tell them bunch of lizard-tongued Jezebels, I said to suck an egg and drop dead. You let them know the church is alive and well. Let them know we're still plowing down at the house of God. Let them know the choir's still singing, the moon's still shouting, the Sunday school's going on. Let them know the bills are still being paid, the slaves are still on the field. You let that crowd know we're still plowing. Amen. When you call that Jezebel, let her know the bills are being paid. Let her know we're going to buy the preacher another new car. Let her know the choir's still singing. We still got the glory. We still got the power. We still believe God. He's still on his throne. That's right. Still gets the job done. Whippee! Well, tell some of you men something. If you're not man enough at your house to keep them Jezebels from calling your wife, I'd at least rip the phone off the wall and jam it down her stinking throat. I've never let anybody call my home and say one word about my pastor to me. My wife sitting here before my mom and dad got saved, they come to my house, said something about my pastor. I looked at him with tears in my eyes. I said, I love you more than life. You're my mom and dad. I love you. How could I help but love you? If you don't talk about my preacher, you gotta leave. He's my pastor. He won me to Jesus. He called my name out before the throne before I ever got saved. He loved me when nobody else cared. He took me in when I didn't have a dime in my pocket or a change of clothes. He had me and cried over me and said, Jesus, and help me. You think I'm going to turn my back on my preacher now? You'll either have to change the conversation or go back to the house. I love a prowling preacher. My family's together today because of a prowling preacher. My children singing in the choir tonight because of a prowling preacher. And if you think I'm going to let a bunch of Thessalonians call my wife and talk to my kids, you're crazy. You're crazy. You're crazy. I wonder, I may only get to this point, but I feel like, sir, it'll be enough for you anyway. I'll tell you something. Some of you bunch of pansies, bless God Almighty, some of you men either need to start wearing nylons or be a man. We've got new converts in this church that can take preaching better than y'all ever dared to. Sister Tracy, you got saved here a week ago. You got a whole lot better smile and attitude on your face than some of these so-called old-timers. Brother Wayne, you and your wife, stand up. You and Sister Brenda, stand up for a minute, Brother Wayne. I want you to look at this beautiful couple. Come all the way from Arkansas just to get saved in this meeting. You know what? Thank you, Brother Wayne. You and DC, you know what? Y'all take preaching a whole lot better than some of these old-timers. Why don't you get some of the cobwebs out of you? Why don't you get on an altar and get right with God? I remember when you loved preaching. I remember 5 years ago when I preached like this. You'd be on your feet, standing on the pew on your head, waving your Bible, saying, let her rip, let her rip. Now your children are teenagers. You've compromised everything you've ever believed. You've changed your dress standard. You've changed your music. You've changed your convictions. And you want us to quit plowing? You're crazy, blessed God Almighty. You may go to Thessalonica, but you tell that crowd when you get there, we're still plowing at the house of God. We're still keep on plowing. I wonder, what was it that Paul plowed that Thessalonica did? Have you ever thought about that? Yeah, I took that 3 nights in a row, Brother Steve. 3 nights in a row. I wonder what it was Paul was preaching that the First Baptist Church of Thessalonica wasn't. I feel like maybe one of them, dealing, when you study the land of Thessalonica, you'll find out one thing they did not have was morals. Anything went. They didn't believe in marriage. They'd shack up. Fornication and adultery was accepted. You could come to church and fornicate. It didn't matter. Oh, yeah, you could sing in the boys. You could sing in the choir with your hair down to your rear end, sucker bites all around your neck, a little gold chain around your neck, and high heel shoes off. Oh, down at Thessalonica, you sing away. You little pregnant girls, that little bastard in your womb, you didn't have to repent because you got pregnant before you was married at Thessalonica. No, you didn't have to get up and tell the church you're sorry because some of the kids were probably from the preacher. You can just keep going right on fornicating and do your own thing. Adultery? Nobody say nothing about that in Thessalonica. Man, you could shack up, switch wives. You know, young couples could get real close and on a Friday night watch a suggestive movie and talk about how unsatisfied you are with your mate and switch mates with another young couple in the church and commit adultery on Friday and then hit the altar and quote 1 John 1:9 on Sunday and act like nothing ever happened. Oh, you could do that at Thessalonica, but you ain't going to do it where there's a plowing preacher. You hear me? You hear me, Lord? You're not going to live like a dog, shack up, fornicate, commit adultery, and stay in a plowing church. You can't take it. I can imagine demons said, I'm going down there because they're not as hard on morals as Paul is. Well, tell you parents something. You better thank God Almighty you're in a church where a man of God will tell your little girl she needs to be a virgin and tell her to keep her dress down and your boys to keep his pants up. You say, oh, I don't like all that plain speech. If you got a TV in your house, you shut your mouth. You shut up. Don't you talk about me being plain in speech and watch that stinking television in the middle of your living room. I tell you, if we don't start teaching our girls to keep her dress down and our boys to keep their pants up, we're going to have problems at the house of God. Yippee! That's right. You better believe that's right. You can't shack up, let a bunch of people follow your body, hug everybody and kiss each other and stay in this church. We'll plow you out of here. Amen. Amen. There's a man here last night. You thought you was going to commit adultery after you left this building. You know what I went home and prayed? I said, may God kill you naked in the bed with that two-bit whore. That's exactly what I prayed. No, you didn't sleep with her last night, but you thought you'd do it after service tonight. So I just thought I'd remind you, you whorehopper, you're going to meet God one of these days. He may have went to Thessalonica because they didn't deal with morals. He may have went to Thessalonica because the preacher never said anything about money. You know, I'm kind of ticked about this subject anyhow. So I said, oh, I'd go to that church. I'd go down there. I love to hear Brother Rain's preach, but I tell you, every time I go, I talk about money. Well, you come once a year. You come once a year, and he may say something about the school, taking up an offer for the school, or maybe taking up something for a widow, or maybe taking up something for some of these bums and street people that got saved. Why, if that offends you, you've got problems. But down at Thessalonica, they don't say anything about money. You know, they're supported by the convention, and all the liberal programs come in, and, boy, we just call our associational missionary if we need anything, and he just takes care of us. We just go down where the associational missionary is. You know, he's always got his Bermuda shorts on without a shirt, riding his lawnmower out in the front yard. Oh, yeah, you're pale. Play your emotion. I tell you, we need power pictures. And by the way, if you give to the Lord what belongs to him, it wouldn't bother you if he talked about money anyhow. He may have went because in Thessalonica, you were magnified if you'd done something. You know, in Thessalonica, if you donate a brick, they'll put your name on a tag. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Man, I'm so sick of going in these stinking churches in memory of everything but Jesus. By the time you read the tag, you're so depressed you want to blow your brains out. I tell you, if you're going to give a pew, give it and shut up. Who gives a rip who paid for it, how much you give? If you're going to donate a fan, give it, shut up. Amen, amen, amen. We don't need a bunch of tags and a bunch of names and a bunch of numbers. I say if you're out with God, they don't have to put your picture out in the best of you to let you know you gave so much to build the building. They won't have to name an auditorium after you. Amen. I say if you're out with God, you'll give it because you love God and you won't open your mouth about it. I tell you, plowing preaching will make some depart from the faith. Some said, well, preacher, folks are leaving. I mean, I've seen some folks leave. Lester Roloff said this before he died. He said, don't worry when people leave a church. Only dead limbs fall off a tree during a storm. Mm-hmm. Oh, some of you Thessalonica contacts, please write that down and tell them I said so. Brother Walmart said, don't worry when the storm comes. Only dead limbs fall off the living tree. Some will depart from the faith. I was looking at verse 11. I just got to mention it. I got bogged down there and I mixed it. Verse 11. Clown preaching, some will depart from the faith. But watch this. I tell you what else clown preaching will do. Some will denounce the flesh. You remember what happened to Mark, don't you, in Acts chapter 12? He went on a missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas. Halfway through that missionary journey, I don't know what, the Bible does not say, but somehow Mark kind of yielded to that flesh, got homesick, whatever the situation was, and he went back home. Mark quit on the first missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas. When they got back and they started to go back on the second journey, Barnabas said, Paul, I got somebody wanting to go with me. Paul said, who is it? He said, John Mark. Paul said, no way. Said, that little punk will never amount to anything. He's a coward. He can't take it. He's a sissy. He loves the flesh. He loves his home. He's got to be around mama. We don't have night lights out in the woods, and he wants us to sing him lullabies at night. You tell him he'll never amount to anything till he grows up. And the Bible said the contention got so straight between them that Paul went one way with Silas and Barnabas went the other way with Mark. I tell you, Mark had made a mess out of his life. He had scarred his testimony. He had fallen down. He had quit on God and went back. I tell you, Mark had made a big mess out of his life and his early Christian life. Has anybody in the New Testament you'll ever read about? You say what you want to, but Mark fell. He messed up. He yielded to the flesh. And he quit on God. But I tell you, old Mark got up and said, I've made a mess. But I've been listening to old Paul preach. Though I've yielded to the flesh, I've done some things I shouldn't have done. There's one thing I'm not going to do. I'm not going to let that knock me out of church and get me away from a preacher that'll plow. He just kept coming back and said, look, Paul, I'm in a mess. You know I've quit. You know I've yielded to the flesh. I gotta have some help. Lone Paul just kept dropping that plow. One Sunday morning after everybody give up hope on Mark, here he come down an aisle singing, I've wandered far away from God, but now I'm a coming home. You know what plow and preaching will do? It'll make those that have yielded and discouraged and quit and went to the flesh, it'll give them a desire to get back up and try it again. Oh, Paul said, Lord, he said to Paul, he said, I may not amount to anything, but I'm getting this thing right. I don't want to die shipwrecked away from God. I don't want one mistake to ruin my whole Christian life. Paul, I'm getting back up, and I'm going to try again. You say, well, I don't know if Mark made a good comeback or not. Well, only four men in the whole world had the privilege of being filled with the Holy Ghost and writing the Gospels, and John Mark was one of those four men. I tell you what Paul said. Paul said he's made such a comeback. He's made such a turnaround. He said, bring him with you. He said he's profitable for the ministry. Thank God for a God of a second chance. You know what motivated Mark to get up? I tell you, it wasn't Thessalonica, bless God, that got him back up. It wasn't that liberal crowd down the road that changed their minds that got him back up. It wasn't those bunch of fornicators that got him back up. It was the plowing preacher that said, if you come, I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. I'm going to rebuke you. I'm going to instruct you. I'm going to love you with all long suffering. And because of good old fashioned hard preaching, old John Mark got up again and said, I'm going to forget about my past and I'm going to try again for the glory of God. I tell you what good hard preaching will do. Man, it'll germinate something in you to say, get up! Get up and try it again. The devil will say, you've already made a fool out of yourself. You've already yielded to the flesh. That preacher's preaching right at you. He's hoping you'll leave. No, he's not. He's not hoping you'll get out. He's hoping you'll get in. We don't want to see you sit there, dry up, and die. We want to see you hit the aisle. Get back up. We'll put our arms around you. We'll forgive you. We'll welcome you home. We'll encourage you in the ministry of the Lord and the things of God. Hard preaching will get you back up on your feet again. Make you want to go on for God. It'll make you denounce the flesh. Number three, and I'm closing. I tell you, because a preacher hit a plow, some are dedicated to the finish. Some just aren't going anywhere. Let me give you a picture, and I'm through. Luke comes down to the door. There sits Paul, fetters and chains all over him. Rats running around. One candle just about burnt out. Luke looks through the little window and knocks on the door. Hey, Paul. Paul. Yeah, who is it? Hey, Paul, it's Luke. Hey, Luke, I'll be right there. He heard the rustlings of the chains through the slime and the mire and the floor of the underground prison. Directly, Paul takes the candle that's just about out, puts his fingers and hands around it, walks over to the window, and he sees the face of a pale servant that's waiting on the man of God. Paul said, hey, Luke, how you doing? Fine, Paul, I'm doing fine. Hey, Luke, where's Demas? I haven't seen him in a couple of days. Sick? Where's he at, man? You out passing out tracts, preaching the gospel? What, is he doing a missionary tour? Well, where's Demas at? No, Paul, he's not passing out tracts and he's not preaching on the street. He's quit. Luke, you mean to tell me in the hour that I need him the most, he's quit on me? Yeah, Paul. That Thessalonica crowd kept calling him. He's gone. Paul said, hey, Luke, have you heard from Mark lately? Yeah. Hey, sure have, Paul. Guess what? He's coming back. He's trying it again. I heard he got up, dusted the dust off his breeches, and said, I'm going to try it again for Jesus. Paul said, I'm glad to hear that. He'll be profitable for the ministry. Paul said, huh? Demas gone, huh? Yeah, Paul, he is. You sure he's gone, Luke? Yeah, Paul. I'm sure he's gone. He's gone. You know, Luke, I really hate to lose him. I love that old boy. I know, Paul. And I'm sorry Demas is gone. And I'm sorry Mark ain't here yet. But Paul? Yeah, Luke. What do you want? I'm still here. And I don't have the personality Demas has. And I'm not as young as Mark. I'm going to tell you something, Paul. I slept with you on the mountaintop when we heard from the Lord. And I ain't leaving you now. Though others may forsake me. Paul, I come down here to let you know. I'll be sleeping right outside the door here. If I can rub your feet or treat your wounds, Paul, you just call me. I'm determined to stay till it's over. Give me some volume on the cordless mic, Brother David, please. Brother and Sister Rangers, you come here. Stand with me. I love this pastor. Pastor, you come stand with me. I love him with all my heart. I wouldn't embarrass him for nothing in the world. I love him. I love Sister Rain. I've been with him 5 weeks, five solid weeks. We've not had one cross word. Not one. I'm going to tell you something, sir. It's in 5 weeks. I've seen them cry over just about every family in this building tonight. Let me tell you something, church. I preach for men that could care less about any of their people. They don't care. And to think that you've got a pastor that after 24 years can still weep and cry over you. You don't know how blessed you are. Brother Michael, I've heard him pray for you, Mom and Daddy on the road. Brother Townsend, we pray for you in your condition. Yes. Brother Adam, we pray for you and your family this week. Brother Chris, I heard him pray for you. Brian, I heard him pray for you this week. Brother Mark, Sister Ava, I heard them pray for you this week. I'm talking about all these so-called Brother Hazelwood, we pray for you boys this week. Brother Jones, we pray for you this week, Brother Brown. Brother Joe, we talked about y'all this week. Pray for y'all. Brother Leslie, you and your brother and your brother-in-law, all y'all from Arkansas. Lord knows we pray for y'all. Coming from the ungodly state of Arkansas, you need all the prayer you need. Brother Gary, we went over to eat over your house the other day. This man of God prayed and labored and glowed. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something right now. Your home's together. Over that man out there. And bless God, you know that's the truth. You girls wouldn't even have a daddy tonight if it wasn't for that pastor. Brother Wayne, you and your wife on the brink of disaster. Sister Brenda, tonight y'all walked in here. I wouldn't give you 10 cents for y'all's wife or marriage. I look back there now and see the joy of God. It's hard for me to believe y'all the same family. You know why your family's together today, Brenda? Of a man of God just like that right there. Sister Terry, your family together, them fine little boys and that girl. And I tell you what, Miss Tracy, when your husband gets saved, when he gets saved, you'll have a greater home than you ever dreamed because of that pastor right there.
Hallelujah.
Brother Stewart, your home together, and you know it because of that man right there. I'm going to tell you what I said, Brother Stewart. I'm going to tell you what I said. I said, I've seen a lot of people get help in this church down through the years. Brother Rangers, you'll verify I said this. And I said, Brother Stewart, I've seen your wife grow as much as anybody I've ever seen in my life.
Hallelujah.
But I'm going to tell you something. Clowns work. I'll tell you something, girls. It's kept you a virgin this far, and it'll work the rest of the way. You just stay with this plowing priest. And Brother David, when the last shot fired, you wait and see if we won't have glory. You wait and see if God, you wait and see if God won't turn this sucker around. You hold on, buddy. And when he does, you tell Fester and I that we said so. You know what I want to do tonight? I want to do it publicly because there's a few of y'all. I really feel like I could almost point you out with liberty. You're that sorry. I believe I could almost, with the liberty of the Holy Ghost, point you out and tell you publicly how sorry you are. You stayed in contact with people that hate their guts. Don't you sit there weep and cry and tell me how much you love your pastor and you let the same crowd that cut his throat and lied about his wife
if you go home and you call that crowd, let that crowd talk to your wife, if you come here and stand up and say, "Preacher, I want to tell you how much I love you," I'd vote you out of this church Sunday if you do that. You'll never stay in contact with us tonight and be faithful to a plow and preacher. I tell you that right now. I'm going to tell you something else, Brother Brown. Sister Tammy stayed with God whoever did this. And there's a couple of you, if you get up, I may just have liberty to set you down. I'll do it, Brother Brown. You know I'll do it. Some of you men better think about it before you come up here. Don't you come because every other man in the church is coming. I got more respect for you sitting out in your seat. I'd rather you sit in your seat. You can't back your pastor. I'm serious. I'd rather you stay in your seat. I want to look you face to face. That's right, Pastor. That's right. Brother Ledford, I know you're the man of God. You've been a blessing to me, Brother Ledford. I appreciate you. I know that. I know you love it. Amen, Mark. We've got a Mark coming on. That's all right. I'm going to tell you something about old John. He come here. That's right. I'm going to tell you something about him. Some of y'all say, "Man, that old boy." Hey, shut up. Let me tell you about that old boy. He come here last night. He don't even know which way he's up. I'm serious. He don't know which way he's up. You know what he said? He said, "I've been going to churches everywhere. I can't find God anywhere." He said, "Man, God's in this place." He don't even know which way he's up, man. Y'all fool me, I'll let him sing a special. Church, men, look at me. If there are men that are members of this church that are in that congregation, you better watch yourself. You're the mark those that cause division among you, and you better stay away from them. Because if you don't, Brother Wayne, they'll suck you in the same spiritual hell they're in. And take a good look at that crowd, Brother Doug. They're the same ones that pooched their lips for 5 weeks, raised hell about the meeting going on, and can't wait for me to leave town. And I tell you something else, Brother Wayne. That's the same crowd calling Thessalonica, letting them know what's going on at Pleasant View. And I tell you what I'd do, man. If that crowd opened their mouth about my pastor, you minister to me, Brother Jimmy? If they opened their mouth about the man of God to you, I'd tell the man of God, and we'd vote him out of here Sunday morning. Amen. We'll vote your family out with him. I'll tell you what we need. We just need some loose that'll hang in there. Stay with the man of God. He said, "Man, I tell you, if I preach this meeting, I wouldn't do that." Maybe that's why you're not preaching. You ain't got enough guts. You can't even tell your wife what to do, much less about the church. I want to ask some of you men something. Everybody, look up at me, every one of you. If your wife's talking to women that's left this church, get out of that choir and sit down. Get out of the choir and sit down. You're letting your wife communicate with that hell-raising crowd that's right about this church. Get out of the choir and sit down. Last thing we need is Judas. Brother Barry, are you serious about this thing? Brother Eddie, are you sure you're serious about being up here in this choir tonight, son? Are you right with your pastor? Brother Ranger, is he right with you? You said you got right with your pastor? Well, things will be different, I'll tell you that much. Y'all sure? Y'all sure, Brother Joy? Y'all sure you're with that man of God, right? I ain't afraid of none of you. Bless God Almighty, you hear me? I got a pistol and a bat. I can get out of here. I think it's time we let the rubber meet the road and find out what in the name of hell is going on around here. Sure it is. For you before all that others may fear. You don't have any problem with me doing the word of God, do you?
No problem at all.
Brother Smith, if you don't have any for a meeting, pay me enough, I'll do the same for you. I'm going to tell you something, man. If you're going to get mad because we preach against your daughters and sons committing fornication, get out of the choir. We're not going to quit preaching against fornication because your kid's doing it. And they're not going to be members of this church and do it. And you're the man of your house. You're accountable for your home. If you're letting it go on, you need to be church too. Y'all got a good look? Y'all got a good look around the auditorium? I wonder how many liars, two-faced, egg-sucking, hypocritical liars are in that choir tonight. I wonder how many of you lying just so you wouldn't be in bed. God ought to kill you. Tell you what, Brother Scott, you really in this thing? Where's your wife at? Your kids are sick, aren't they? Your wife don't stay in contact with that sexual night of crowd, does she, Brother Scott? Some of that crowd that left don't call your wife, do they? Try that, Brother God. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to hug the man of God's neck. Let him know I'm with him. I'm going home. Brother Doug, play the piano. I love you, Pastor, with all my heart. I love you.
Thank God, come to you.
We got to do what God wants us to do. I don't know, Pastor Thomas, going to wait on you. Sister, we love you. Appreciate you. You ladies, if you're with your pastor's wife, you ought to tell her. If you're not, stay in your seat. If you're a lying hypocrite gossiper, your tongue ought to rot out of your mouth. If a proud preacher's ever needed you, if they've ever needed you, they need you now.